Pour something flammable into your glass. It's Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. Nathan is once again away, and I have with me, surprise, surprise, it's Maddie again.
Hey, I'm here, yay. Man, this whole living we set each other is like really
Isn't
bang
it so off. Fucking awesome? I know, I'm really enjoying it.
You don't have to fight with my terrible Wi-Fi, now we have my new Wi-Fi.
Now you got your new Wi-Fi, and we're getting to use it now, even though we're sitting in a room, and Wi-Fi means absolutely nothing.
because we've been doing this whole Wi-Fi.
Right.
But now we have Wi-Fi, so it's fine.
Well, I mean, when we get your, like, we have your Wi-Fi set up, once we get your computer all set up, we get everything going, the question will be, is either of us lazy enough to not drive the 5 minutes to get to the other's house to actually record it?
It will actually happen. I'm just waiting for that sweet, sweet TV I bought.
That sweet TV you bought a month ago?
No, I bought it a week ago. It's getting installed next week.
All right.
My couch is the one that we can't find in the Western Hemisphere. Because it's been gone for like 2 months.
Perfect. All right, so you're listening to Jaded Gamercast. Let's just dive into what we did this week in hobby. Oh, what are we drinking? We are drinking vodka and orange juice because...
That's all I had. That's literally all I had in my house.
I would say it's almost my last choice, but I guess that's not technically true.
I think screwdrivers are a great thing to just... I went to a Jewish wedding.
So
I went to a Jewish wedding, and they didn't have cranberry juice because they couldn't find kosher cranberry juice, so I had to drink kosher orange juice all night. So I got destroyed at my buddy's sister's wedding probably last month, just on screwdrivers the entire night.
You still have to talk into the microphone.
I'm talking into the microphone.
Okay, so what is orange juice and rum then?
I don't know. I don't think it has a fancy name.
Well, I thought it was still technically a screwdriver. I think when I looked online, it was like a tropical screwdriver or some shit like that.
I'll just call it a rum screwdriver.
Interesting. All right.
Because then I just make it with white rum.
Anything with orange juice is a screwdriver.
Well, you can make a screw up because it's half 7, half vodka, half orange.
Interesting.
That's what a screw up is.
I do that with gin.
Oh, the Sprite orange and gin?
Well, I do gin, orange juice, and ginger ale.
Oh, okay. That actually sounds pretty refreshing.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Okay, yeah.
It makes me fat. Let's talk a little bit about what we did this week in hobby. I played D&D. I talked about that last week, so yeah. I haven't actually played anything since then. Fuck, I don't think I did anything this week. I think, because this weekend... You and I didn't play anything. You were working this whole weekend.
And I was playing, what's it called? Softball. I'm fucking hurting right now.
You gotta quit. You gotta fake, you fucked up your foot again.
Trust me, I was trying to get out of it all weekend. My buddy had to make me play because there was no one else to play. And I was like, this is fucking terrible.
That sounds like hell.
Oh my god, today? 4 games? Oh, I was like literally sitting in the outfield at one point today.
Sports are for people with low self-esteem. All right, so...
That's why I bowl. It's only considered a game.
There you go, man. Perfect. Like darts and curling. yeah, that and Overwatch came out. Overwatch is excellent for anybody who hasn't played it. There were a lot of people posting on Facebook, hey, should I get Overwatch or Battleborn? That is not even a question. You absolutely buy Overwatch. Overwatch is 10 times the game that Battleborn is.
Is Overwatch on console?
It's on PS4.
Okay, well, I have a PS4, so maybe I may pick it up when I get my TV.
Well, but the problem is, if you pick it up on PS4, we can't play, because there's no cross-platform on it.
But what else is it on?
PC.
But I haven't gamed on a PC in, like, 10 years.
Dude, we're going to get you back in the saddle with fucking Overwatch, man.
All I know is, like, the last time I think I gamed on PC was Diablo 2, and I just did MASH. I just mashed spiders.
Listen, Matt, I want to go way back. I want to throw us in the way back machine. Do you remember Star Wars Galaxies?
Yes.
Okay. You and I have not gamed online since Star Wars Galaxies.
And we fucking ran... Yeah. To Jabba's Palace.
Well, okay, we didn't run directly to Jabba's Palace, and part of the interesting thing about Star Wars Galaxies was that you actually moved a lot slower when you were wearing armor of any type, and this was kind of before the game had any sort of vehicles built into it. This was like launch.
We were on the ground floor.
No, this was launch of Star Wars Galaxies.
We launched, and we literally, me and you, I was like, I don't really play a lot. We're like, we're getting Galaxies. I'm so like, we were
running naked through the desert. Toward Jabba's Palace.
And it took us, what, 2 hours?
And on the way there, we ran into the Lars farm, and it was burnt down. And we were like, holy shit! So we started, like, taking screenshots, like we were sightseeing. We're like, this is fucking amazing!
No, you were taking screenshots, and you couldn't figure out how to do it.
You couldn't figure out how to do it. And then we almost got to Jabba's Palace before we were killed by two Tusken Raiders. Just murdered us because we couldn't get our armor on in time.
But then we spawned at the closer town to Jabba's Palace.
Yeah, and then we ran
it was,
there.
It was on the hill, but like, where they were at Jabba's Palace, it was like literally in the corner of the Tatooine map.
Yes, it was way the fuck out.
But you start at Mos Eisley.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, and literally, we ran for probably, I think we talked about 40K for a good 2 hours.
Oh, yeah, that was the whole time. That was the whole time we were doing, was just running through the desert naked, talking about 40K, going like, we're going to get there, man. We're on our way. Now, Star Wars Galaxies, for anybody who doesn't know, is shut down now.
Thank God. God.
I went back and played it
you know what,
a couple of months before they shut it down.
You know what? I have fond memories of the game. But I think now that I'm older and I'm way more savvy.
Oh, it's dated. It is dated.
I would probably still enjoy it, but it's because it's so ridiculous.
No, it's super fucking dated.
Okay.
It is not a good game in the sense of like just how fucking dated it is. And the funniest thing about the game was they said, oh, we're going to make it free to play, and we're going to change up all the roles, and we're going to change up all the systems and all that kind of stuff. So the people who worked super fucking hard to become a Jedi, guess what? It's just a class you can pick now.
I heard that was a class now. That was
so
weird.
You just pick a class.
Because I remember
just
reading...
Just pick the Jedi class.
I remember reading in a PC Gamer it was supposed to be super rare. Like, it was random. And
it
like,
was,
and like,
you had to master, I think it was like 5 or 6 random skill sets. And you didn't know which ones they were.
But if you somehow synced the correct way with your character, it suddenly opened up.
It unlocked the Force ability. So it was like you had to go master a couple of things. I don't know if it was as much as 5 or 6, but you had to master a couple of like skill trees.
And you didn't know what it was.
No, but keep in mind there were skill trees for cooking, for like being a hairdresser. Like the number of skill trees was fucking insane. And the people who finally got it were like, oh my god, I worked so hard for this, because you could only actually master a certain number of skill trees. So if that wasn't the right combination, you had to like remove your mastery points in them and then go through the process of mastering another skill tree. It was fucking crazy.
Wasn't the big thing about if you ever became Force sensitive, Darth Vader just hunt you down?
Well, you were always being hunted by Darth Vader, yes.
Yeah.
But it was funny. Because Darth Vader was an admin. but basically, they made the game free to play. They added the space side, which was pretty shit. They added a bunch of vehicles, which were actually pretty interesting. The combat system made a lot more sense, but they also added the opportunity for you to build a house. You could build your own house. So, like, on Tatooine, you would go to, like, Mos Espa or something like that, right?
Or the burnt-down Lars farm.
No, you couldn't go that far out, right? But there was, like, this massive circle, and they were like, right, so, like, once you got outside of this town, like, a certain distance outside of this town, players could create player-made towns, and you could set up a house.
So, like, was there, like, a class for, like, being a...
like a homeowner? Yeah.
No. I mean, like, a... like, someone who, like, sells and buys homes. A realtor? Was there a Star Wars realtor class?
I'm sure that was one of the ones required to become a Jedi. No, there wasn't. But what the problem was is that the houses were insanely cheap. They were super fucking cheap.
Okay.
And if you actually purchased the game instead of just did a free-to-play, you got a house for free. So when the houses came along, everybody went and found a plot for their house and made a house. And so there's just empty houses for fucking miles outside of every single city. Like, any spot of land that's even remotely open had a house planted on it. And when you were driving, you couldn't use the vehicles to, like, weave in and out of them because they were just a mess, right? So you would end up, like, clipping through houses and, like, your vehicle would explode. It was fucking crazy. And they had this big purge where they're like,
oh,
any house that hasn't been used...
Was it the purge?
It wasn't quite the purge. Any house that hadn't been used was going to be destroyed. And there was this big uproar because everyone was like, oh, I still want my fucking house. And they're like, you can have it.
Tatooine has its own style of the purge. It's a house purge. You can go purge and do your part for Mos Eisley.
It's like just Pueblo exploding everywhere.
You don't get to murder each other. You just murder houses.
That's right. One day a year.
One day a year.
So anyways, Overwatch. I've been playing a lot of Overwatch. It is really, really fun. The game... I'm still playing it. I'm still enjoying it. One of the things I've said to a lot of people is that the game will really be tested on its first major update. When this thing gets patched and we get new heroes and we get new maps, that's where this game is really going to be tested, because it was a long time in beta. and they beta'd the shit out of it. And they added a lot during the beta, but the game is still very thin in the sense that, like, there's not an enormous number of heroes, and there's not an enormous number of maps or game modes, and that is essentially everything that the game is made up of.
So the game's like a fucking work in progress, though?
No, it's not a work in progress. It's just brand new.
Okay.
Right? So, like, it's not like Call of Duty where all you want out of it is to go shoot minorities with various types of guns that you can spray paint pink. It's genuinely about, like, no, it's like a competitive multiplayer type game. Fast, fun, enjoyable. That's the idea behind it, right?
But I love getting on Call of Duty and getting called a faggot every fucking 10 seconds. It's great.
I mean, you still get called a faggot here, but, like...
By a 12-year-old?
No! It bleeps it. Like, it's just a bunch of stars, and you're just like, I don't know how many letters that's there. I think I get what's going on here.
Because, like, I think that was my favorite part about getting playing college, was my buddy was really good, but I was a really good trash talker. And one time we were playing, and I had a 14-year-old talking so much trash to me that I got super fucking loaded one time, and I was told him I was gonna prison rape his dumpster hole, because he kept calling me a faggot for, like, a good 10 minutes and hunted us every map. He would just find us and hunt us. It was like the Predator.
That is the joys of playing online. So anyways.
And so, like, this 14-year-old, yeah, we were fucking loaded.
PSA to those of you out there, don't do that. You'll get banned nowadays.
Yeah, I know.
That's considered bad.
I know. That was I think that was Modern Warfare 1.
Ooh, wow.
It was like 2009.
That is a rough, all right. Okay, so that's basically all of my hobby time. Matt, what about you?
I played softball.
All right, there it is. There it is, everybody.
and it was terrible.
And now I'm going to act like I was prepared and bring up the weekly listener poll. Loading screen.
The weekly listener poll, we totally forgot about that in the pre-show talk.
Boop. Here we go.
Oh my god, if I could actually turn my cell phone on. This is fucking great.
Is it Apple?
You know how I think I showed you 5 Apple devices in the first 2 minutes of you being here.
I know. I'm also looking at it. So the question that we had for you guys is, does the quality of Fantasy Flight's painted miniatures make you want more companies to produce painted models? I should have said pre-painted models, but you guys get the gist of it.
Yeah.
63% of you said yes, 36% of you said no, which is kind of surprising. I thought more people would say yes. I thought this was actually going to be more of a landslide, with the idea that any pre-painted model allows you to repaint it after the fact. But, yeah, so what do you think about that, Matt? What'd you vote for?
I said yes, of course. I wish there was a lot more game. Finding kind of the paint period right now is just such a hard thing. When you start playing a game that has pre-painted miniatures, you see how much of an investment of time painting is. And I'm not saying that I don't enjoy painting. There's just so many things where, like, fuck, I really wish that I could just buy pre-painted Spartan fleets.
Yeah,
I
would agree with that.
Like,
yeah.
Just like, because, like, it makes me either want to A, get really good at airbrushing everything and just doing like airbrush.
I fucking
everything.
Hate airbrushing.
Exactly, but
I don't even like the way that it looks most of the time.
Exactly, I'm not a big fan of either. I think it's like cheating sometimes. Like, well, like just because, like, the people who can do it really well do it amazing, and then I'm probably gonna look like I fucking, like, spray painted graffiti on a model.
Just jizz sprayed across the
or
front
just, like,
of the model.
Or just have, like, no life. like just, like, on the side of, like, just terribly painted ships. Like, that's what I'm thinking. But, like, I wish there was a lot more games that they would invest in pre-painted stuff. More like you could buy patrol fleets that are pre-painted or patrol fleets that are not pre-painted.
Well, I mean, yeah, I agree to an extent. I mean, it's a huge undertaking. And for certain types of models, I could definitely see where that is going to be problematic. I think, for the most part, in my mind, like, there are quick and easy ways to do it. And we've seen that. Like, we've seen it multiple times with pre-painting, right? So, you know, putting a base coat on, putting an ink wash on it, and putting 2 colors on it is not the end of the world, right?
No,
like, in terms of a pre-painting assembly line, that is not a big deal. And especially when we talk about someone like Spartan, where, let's say, compared to Fantasy Flight, the actual turn, like, the amount of models they're turning out at a time is a hell of a lot lower,
mm-hmm.
right? So, like, that pre-painting process would not be as much of a hurdle as it is for Fantasy Flight.
Yeah.
You know,
or you could have WizKids where it's literally just some of the worst stuff you've ever seen.
Oh, they shit on it.
It's
yeah, that's basically it. Alex,
except I will say this: I remember the pre-painted Sovereign classes, the Enterprisees, were actually pretty good looking.
Yeah, no. I think their pre-painting got better,
except for the metallic. Like, they decided to paint everything metallic, and it looked terrible.
The metallics were weird color mixtures, which I think was the biggest problem with them. Like the Klingon metallics, I liked, but then all the other metallics looked really weird.
The new Nebulon class. The new Nebulons, like the Nebulas, when they came out with the metallic, they looked terrible.
Matt, for anyone who's wondering, Matt was genuinely upset that he used the wrong name.
Yeah.
He was like, fucking God damn it, why'd I say Galaxy? Shit!
And then drop Nebulon right behind it. The Nebula class. Shipped from fucking Star Trek. The metallics were weird from WizKids. Like the Thunderchild, so the... why can I not remember? Fuck!
Anyways, moving on. Let's go to the comments here. Alex Troy commented on the poll. Boo!
Boo!
The fuck are you
shamed.
Doing, Alex?
You get shamed.
As nicely painted
as... Screen cap that and post it on the group.
Anyone can see it. They just gotta go to the website, man. He says, as nicely painted as the X-Wing miniatures are, i.e. better than I could paint them... They are very expensive. I'd rather get bare plastic or resin at a much cheaper price and put a serviceable, if not good, paint job on it for less dollars. Well, I mean, that's an interesting idea. Because how much does a pot of paint cost? Right? Like, I'm not going to say that $20 for an X-Wing is not a lot of fucking money. And we've said this in the past for Fantasy Flight and WizKid games, you're essentially paying for the cards, right? Like, how much does a pack of Magic cards cost, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of the idea behind this, is you're paying for the cards, you're paying for the tokens, and you're paying for the models. Yeah. If you break it all down, the painting is actually not as much as you would think it is, right? When you're buying models that are pure resin, right? Like, if you're buying a squad of three Firestorm Armada cruisers or something like that, it's just the models. I mean, back in the day, they used to give you a stat card, but they don't do that as much anymore.
No.
All that shit's available online for free. So, really, I don't think that the price is that much of a deterrent. I mean, Matt, you were just saying, you kind of underestimate...
It's an Akira class, by the way.
Fuck.
I had to Google
it. I was like, why are you bringing your phone up? Oh, yeah, he's still upset about it. I
had to Google it.
So you were saying about like what? How much does the price factor into it, and how much do you feel like it's worth it?
I think $20 for a pre-painted X-Wing is not that terrible of a cost because I'm getting the cards, the tokens, a tabletop standard painted miniature for $20. Where if you break down the cost of paints, time, effort for three Terran cruisers in a Terran cruiser box, what's that, $45-$50 right now?
Roughly.
Like getting one in my hand from Spartan is probably $55, right? So it's $55 divided by 3, so we'll say $18 a ship. Then paint, time, it's $25-$30 a ship, probably. That's the same as an X-Wing, I would say.
And
honestly, you're going to have to buy more of those ships to play the game than you do for X-Wing. So that's also very true. So I think X-Wing. Case in point, if you're only playing X-Wing at 100 points at standard point level, the game's actually not that expensive to play.
Unless you're
trying to buy everything like a super competitive person like me. But again, the way Games Workshop, Spartan, those guys have built their system, you got to play bigger things, right? The one thing I'll say about Fantasy Flight, unless you're playing a swarm, you don't need 10, 20 ships. You need 5.
Yeah,
you need a starter set in like three. You need a starter set in like three.
A couple extras, yeah, and then that's it. So I mean, cost total lower than you would normally have. Yeah.
Star Wars Armada is a bit of a different story. It's
a
fucking expensive game. Like, I just bought an MC30, and it's $45 for an MC30, and I need one card because it was the only time they released that card in that one expansion, Wave 2.
Perfect.
And I have to buy one more still. So Star Wars Armada for Fantasy Flight, we're talking like premium miniatures here for Armada is their premium game, for
okay.
sure.
Yes.
But even then, it's still comparable to, say, Firestorm Armada or like 40K. It's still cheaper than 40K.
Everything is cheaper than 40K.
Like, I don't know War Machine's pricing, so I would say that maybe
War Machine is not... War Machine has gotten up there, but it's still cheaper than 40K. Andrew says, I think as long as it's an option, like Warlord Games' new line of pre-painted tanks, and not an all-or-nothing change, like Rackham's disastrous switch to pre-paints, then I'm happy.
Which game... Isn't the card game that Nathan likes to play with miniatures, aren't they pre-painted? Malifaux? Is Malifaux pre-painted?
No.
Oh, which one am I thinking? Or is Infinity pre-painted? Or neither of those are pre-painted,
right? I don't think either of those are pre-painted, okay. Man.
I thought there was one of those that was pre-painted, that their stuff actually didn't look that bad. And it's pretty cheap to get into.
Yeah. Okay, so to Andrew's comment, I think everybody feels that way with the idea that we as so long as it's not a complete clusterfuck in one direction or the other,
yeah,
then we're okay with it. But like I said at the top of the show, the big thing is if you don't like the paint job, you can still repaint it, right?
Yeah,
like,
well, I repainted all my WizKids stuff.
Right, and I said, I repainted a whole ton of my WizKids stuff. And I repainted my Y-Wings, but I didn't repaint the Ghost because I thought, man, that's a fucking good paint job. No, I don't need to repaint
The Ghost is very high quality.
Right. And I think that, the fact that they have it there and the fact that I'm able to say, well, I can take it or leave it. If I don't like the paint job, I can repaint it. If I want a different look to it, I can repaint it. If I want it to match the color scheme of one of the ships on the additional cards, right? Like if I have Slave 1 and I'm looking at one of the other color schemes, like I think there's a black and white color scheme to it or something I'm going to go repaint it to that color scheme.
Yeah, Cath Scarlet's Mandalorian Fire Spray is different painted than Boba's.
Exactly, right? So it's like the idea that I can still go repaint it because the models have enough detail on them to allow me to do that.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's all I need, right? I don't have to do anything crazy. And they're still giving me a pre-painted model that is either passable to good quality.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying that I'm an amazing painter, but there's, even like I said like last time, their style. Like, I wouldn't repaint my X-Wing stuff because my painting style is just different. And I don't think it would look good on those miniatures. The WizKids stuff, I really do like how I paint Star Trek stuff, but I don't think I would paint Star Wars very well.
Right. Well, again, it's different from the way you would paint Firestorm Armada on top of that, right?
So I think just when it comes to down the painting style, also, like, maybe your style just doesn't fit the aesthetic you want for the game you're playing.
I actually, like I said, I had a really hard time painting the Y-Wings. I thought it would be a lot faster because, again, I had to change my style to make it fit a little bit better.
And also, you fucking watched Star Wars how many times? You know what a Y-Wing's supposed to look like and the detailing, and if you can't... If you're not used to painting that style, you're just like, fuck, like, this is...
Well,
this,
and
this
I wanted the general color to look different, right? So, yeah, that was it. Rocky Yeti says, I talked with a guy who works at a moderately large miniature producing company, and he told me that they and some of their competitors had looked into pre-painted models. The technology and business case is there, but most of these companies are ruled by the artists, and the idea of pre-painting turns their precious sculptures into toys in most of their minds, and they kill the idea. Well, that's very fucking interesting.
Yeah, that is actually. I've never thought of
that. That's a scoop, Rocket Yeti.
I've never actually thought of it that way, but I guess true sculptors, like, say, at like GW headquarters and stuff like that, when they're sculpting things, like, are actually considering more art than anything else. Like it's a personal extension of themselves.
Well, okay, I mean, that we could talk about the idea of, like, 3D rendering being the sculpt. Like, for Firestorm Armada, it's 3D rendering.
Yeah.
They don't actually have a sculptor going down there and sculpting that shit.
Unlike Forge World, where the guys are still doing
Exactly. Well, and I mean, GW is doing the same thing, right? Yeah. They still have sculptors who are sculpting the 3-ups, and then the 3-ups are moved down to the mold and all that kind of shit, right? And I mean, I get it. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely get it. If that were mine, I would totally look at that and say, fuck, I don't want it to be pre-painted.
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe I would still not care. Here's why. Go look at the story of Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, right?
Yeah.
They don't own those characters anymore, because when they made them, those characters were now owned by
the property of Marvel or DC.
Exactly,
whoever they were contracted out to create.
It was Marvel.
I thought Stan Lee did a couple things for DC at one time.
I fucking don't know. I don't think so. But anyways, so what it comes down to is, I feel like in a lot of those cases, it's Right, you want me to sculpt a model? Perfect, I'll sculpt it. I sculpt it, I get paid, and then I wash my hands of it. That is owned by Games Workshop now. It's not mine anymore. And especially for a lot of like model companies, because I think Malifaux is also all 3D. Like, it's all 3D rendering, 3D, like, digital rendering, and then they use that to 3D print.
Well, you know that's how Fantasy Flight does theirs, too. Like, it's right. All, like, I guarantee the IT people who are fucking doing it on a computer, they don't give a fuck. They're like, oh, well, X-Wings.
No, exactly, arcs, right?
Whatever. Like, they're not emotional.
There's no artistic merit in that, right? Now, I do understand it to a certain extent.
Especially for the smaller companies.
But right? At the same time, if you said, hey, we're going to go to pre-painted models, and you tell the artist this, are the artists going to lift their nose up at you and say, fuck that, I'm not taking that paycheck anymore. There's lots of jobs out there for sculptors. Oh, shit, there aren't? Fuck, okay, got it. Yeah. I guess I'll do whatever you say, boss.
It seems like a very small company, like, we're in this for the art kind of model company, right?
We've also had this conversation before. Is this art? Is any of this art? And we've said, I've held to the fact, no, it's not art. It's not art at all. Because it has function, and that's the idea behind it. If you want to make a sculpture, and the sculpture is a sculpture, and that's it, yeah. It's not part of a game, and it doesn't have stats, and it doesn't have whatever, then fine, it's art. Sell it as art. It has value, and the value is in the eye of the person who, you know, the eye of the beholder.
Because if it's art, it doesn't matter if it has a 4+ in marble save.
Exactly, right? But these are built with a function, and everything is sculpted with a function. So no matter how much detail you put into that commissar's face, it doesn't mean that it's art.
Even though I will say this about the Primarchs. The Primarchs are definitely sculpted more in an artistic way than a functional way.
Well, they have more character, and hence are... Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Because you could look at all those and just be like, that's a statue. They all look like statues, which is what I love about how they are designed.
Yeah, and I mean that's a success, right? Yeah. Like, you look at that and you go, perfect. That's exactly what they should look like.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, thanks to everyone who voted on the weekly listener poll. You can find those at jadedgamercast.com. We will have another question for you at the end of the show, of course, if we remember. All right, so let's move on here. We are going to move on to the main topic of today's show. Oh, hey. Bryce Percy wants to join the Jaded Gamercast Facebook group.
Approved. Approved. We are live approving people on the podcast.
Bryce, if I ever meet you, I'm sucking your dick. All right, so.
Every pre-approved live pre-approval to the Jaded Gamercast comes with a free dick sucking.
With a free cock slobbering. All right, we are talking about Warhammer Quest, the Silver Tower.
The Silver Tower.
Oh my god, the Silver Tower. As well as the Mighty Heroes expansion. Now, Warhammer Quest, if you haven't played it before, it's more of a board game slash role-playing-ish style Warhammer game. It's been around for a really long time. There's been a lot of various releases for it. The newest one is...
The Age of Sigmar version.
Yes, it is the Age of Sigmar version. And we're primarily going to be talking about the models, because we don't have our hands on the game. I think it's just up for pre-order right now. Or is it a new release?
No, I think it's on the new release. I saw a Painting Legend Dan Byers say he actually played it.
Oh, okay.
Which I'd actually like to hear what he has
to say. Check out the Hobby Night in Canada podcast. Yeah. I'm sure they'll be talking about it.
Well, I think he was talking about it on his Facebook, actually. And I think he said he's actually going to get some paint on these, maybe.
Cool.
So I'd like to see what his work looks like on this stuff. Because as we're getting into, these models are actually very nice.
Yeah, spoiler alert. These models are actually really good. And I mean... To be perfectly honest with you, it's the first Fantasy Marine that I've actually liked the look of.
I love this guy. He's great looking. This is what I was telling you before, that the there's something about the Sigmarines when they're done right, besides the Art Deco weird faceless emotion helmets. I like the lion shoulder. I like the armor. It's a fucking cool looking miniature.
It's not overdone. There's not hammers hanging off of everything. Yeah. You know, like, there's not lightning bolts adorning every surface of this guy. He's got a comet on his greave. He's got the hammer with the comet tails on the shield. You know, he's got the lion on the shoulder.
He's got a regular cape.
That's fucking it, guys. Like, there's no over-fetishization here. There's a comet on his crotch piece, but that's it. Oh, and another lion.
Yeah.
Not terrible, though. They're pretty hidden. The only thing that I would lose is I would lose that head. I would immediately replace that head with like a different helmeted head,
like
another model,
like one of the original ones from the starter set. Just with the fucking the star thing going on.
Yeah, because I fucking hate these helmets. I despise these fucking helmets. Their heads are so small. Look how small his head would have to be to fit into that.
Yeah,
he's like a pygmy. It's sad.
Yeah,
I feel bad for this guy, but his armor's fucking sweet.
No, he looks really good. I'll say this. Like I said, the standard Sigmarines I like. I love their aesthetic. I think they're really cool looking. I think they're a nice addition to the Zeitgeist of just like just what Games Workshop can do for an aesthetic. I really like their standard aesthetic. All the ones with like the bling and the fucking floating and the stars shooting around, like those ones are all over the top. but the standard Sigmarine, I really do like. I think they hit this style out of the park.
See, I don't like the standard Sigmarine, and part of it is I feel like the shoulder pads are done a lot more traditional Pauldron style as opposed to Space Marine style, which is what we saw with the first load of Sigmarines, right? Yeah. And I think that, again, the proportions are much better on this model. And I think just taking all of those things into account, it looks better.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look quite so out there and oblong and overly cartoonish. I think that this one actually works for me a little bit because of that. The shield is a decent size. The shoulder pads make a little more sense. The sword is just a fucking sword.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very... And again, you said the cape. The cape is just a fucking cape.
No, the cape is awesome. And the thing about capes is
he can turn his head.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. You look at this guy and you're like, he can turn his head. Look, he's turning his head on the model.
The thing about capes is less is more, I think. So, yeah, he's...
All a cape needs to be is a cape.
Yeah.
That's it.
He hits it out of the park.
All right, so then we have this Eldar/Dark Eldar...
Oof.
Dark Eldar wizard... person flying up on a chill wind up off the ground. This is actually a really... You remember back when we were talking about that Funkadoo wizard guy who had like the rocks around him.
Yeah.
It was like a cool look to it.
Yeah.
This is where we're starting to see a little bit. I was like, we're going to see this in Games Workshop models. Just you wait. Like, we're starting to see a little bit of that where actually the magic and the environment is what's bringing them up.
And the thing, like, I know we've always bashed modeled fire. And I know, like, even, what's his name? The giant necromancer who had the modeled ghosts around him.
It's literally right in, the center, like, directly above my nose and between my eyebrows.
Buddy, big guy who started the End Times. Nagash.
Thank you. Fuck! I was thinking the heck.
We are on this today for names. Not naming anything today.
You did this to me, man.
I know, it's my bad.
Giving me vodka and orange juice.
Nagash was...
Fucking sadist.
Nagash's ghosts, how he was done, is a great way to do modeled ways to make the model look bigger.
Where the magic is bringing it.
Now you have the new fucking Sigmarine guy who has the fucking stars flying around him. Terrible.
Oh, awful.
This is more in the idea of, I like that he's riding smoke. I think it's a cool looking thing. I think it's well done. I like the smoke on the actual haft.
That's
the staff.
See? The head of the staff.
The smoke coming out of the head of the staff is the model. Yeah. Smoke looks really good.
I think it's a chill wind, right? Like, I think if we go off of the dark elves as we know them, that's kind of the spell that's going along here, or it's some sort of like ethereal flight. The model itself, quite cool. Again, very, very, what's the fucking word? You've done this to me, Matt!
Describing things is hard tonight.
It's a very androgynous build.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, you can look at this model, and after close inspection, you kind of go, like, I'm pretty sure this is a woman. And again, if what we know of Dark Elves, women are spellcasters. There aren't, outside of Malekith, there aren't any male spellcasters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we assume this is a woman, the big hair going behind.
Spellcasters.
And the reason why you have to wonder is because the mask, right? Like, this like, death mask with, like, no eye holes, with this flat faceplate, is really fucking cool.
I think it's very cool that the two elf heroes we're going to see in this set are both dark elves.
And, again, like, these are not overdone. Like, look at the blade.
I guess they said the new elves in Age of Sigmar are, like, a hodgepodge of all three of the elves, right? The Eufs,
I don't even know what that is.
Because dark elves, high elves, and wood elves are going to be like a hodgepodge of themselves, like in this new version. Like all three of them are going to be like all the same thing now. So it's going to be.
Follows with end times. Right?
I want to see if this is the start of a cool mixing of all the aesthetics into one. Or if literally just saying everybody's a dark elf now, it's dark elf aesthetic.
Outside of the crescent moons, which was a high elf thing specifically, this is pretty fucking dark elf.
Yeah,
the shape of the blade again, which is a very simple blade.
Skulls.
There's not an enormous amount of baubles on this thing's hooks, legs. Looks very dark Eldar, dark elf. Like, yeah, they. I think this is a really cool model. And again, because it's this understated model in a cool pose, they're not just flying on a fucking rock.
Oh, also, one thing I'll say about all the...
Even though, like, the dress is too long, but anyways.
I'll say also about the Silver Tower, just the promo models. I don't know if they brought the really good heavy metal painters back, but fuck, are they these ones are really nice.
Yeah, I think for the most part, they really did do a good job painting these models. Like, they
This is definitely
much better than what we've been seeing in the White Dwarf over the last couple of years.
This is definitely better than the non-highlighted inked Grey Knights in the Grey Knight Codex. Like, these are definitely whoever painted these or the team who painted these did a very nice job. Every metal definitely came back for this one.
So this is our first kind of a miss out of this box set. Why jump off of a rock when you can jump off of a fucking tentacle?
Yeah.
So this is another Dark Elf character. It's clearly a male witch character, which is very, very much like dark. And it's very dark Eldar in the sense that there's a lot of chains with hooks flying off of this guy. He's got a big old hooked finger.
Honestly, if you saw him on a 40k table in the dark Eldar army, you wouldn't think that.
No, you'd immediately go like, oh yeah, that's dark Eldar. He's got fucking Swiss cheese leather pants. Leather chaps, which is very interesting from a design perspective with his fucking Swiss cheese leather chaps.
I thought they looked more like male yoga pants, honestly.
I mean, sure, but like 800 belts. the hair looks bad. It's a little bit too molded. It's a little bit too flowy.
Yeah.
It's too Pantene commercial for me.
It also double acts as a weapon because I think there's like blades on the end of some of them.
No.
Or it's just
hair.
Painted. Or it's just painted.
Yeah, it's just painted that it goes white at the end for some reason.
Well, he had to get his highlights. He had to get his tips highlighted.
Yeah,
so
there
fine.
You go. Fair enough. And then he's got some sort of raggedy skin cloak, but yeah, there's nothing about this model that makes it stand out to me.
He's not terrible, though.
There's nothing offensive happening here. It's funny. That's about it. And then we get to our first baby.
Offensive model. Oh my god, the dwarves in...
The dwarves in Age of Sigmar are just babies. Fat, muscular babies.
I don't know what GW has decided that they're just like, you know what, we really just hate... Our dwarves, so all our dwarves are going to look terrible now.
Look at all the runes embedded into his skin.
Yeah. And he has an ass flap. He doesn't have an underwear. He's just an ass flap and a dick flap.
Because they can't draw balls anymore. They got in trouble for that. This is exactly what we've been talking about with the dwarves for the past year. They look like fat babies. And I'm sorry, every time I look at them now, that's all I can see. Because for some reason... They've been completely unable to make dwarves have an anatomy that works for me. They're way too fucking muscular.
Why is a company that literally got to model Tolkien dwarves not able to nail dwarves? Because like all their dwarves that they did in the Lord of the Rings stuff looked fine.
Yeah, but these are Dwarden.
We need more Gimli and Durin and less whatever the fuck they're doing right now. Just give me that aesthetic in like this game. Then it'd be fine. Because I remember the Lord of the Rings dwarves when GW did them looked awesome. They looked great.
So the runes embedded in his back, fucking stupid. His helmet, utterly ridiculous.
Runes coming out of the back of it.
Look how tall his helmet is. It's half as tall as he is. Holy shit! His axe has a sensor in it.
How do you put that helmet on when you have to like? Put your hair through it while you're, like, putting it on.
I'm not convinced that he can even reach and touch his head with the size of his fucking gigantic muscular baby arms.
No, he physically cannot get to the top of that hair.
No, there's no way.
Someone else has to help him.
Yeah, that's...
He lays down and the people armor him and then they do his hair.
he's got elvish hairdressers helping him out. And then, hey, a black... Priest. It's a war priest.
A black war priest. This guy's fucking cool. I like him.
Black war priests matter.
Yeah. Black War Priests matter.
Somebody in head office said, you know, we should really model a black character, not just paint a white character black. Because this is, I think, the first, like, black character that they've created where he I look at that and I'm like, he actually looks like a black guy.
That guy looks like he's actually from Africa.
I didn't just paint a Commissar Dark. You know what I mean? Oh, Commissar Dark.
Well, the thing is, even Vulcan just looks like a white guy painted black.
Yes, exactly. He just looks like a white guy painted black. It's his blackface. Games Workshop has been guilty of blackface for years.
They have a whole planet of blackface, actually, because we all know Space Marines start white.
And they're all lizards. lizards. So,
I don't know.
Again, this model, I wouldn't say necessarily that it's understated, but it makes more sense as like a war priest to be a little bit more flamboyant in like the amount that you're putting on these characters. The hammer is really cool. The sleeveless vest works. I think this model works. I'm actually pretty happy with it.
I like all the lightning bolts in the cloak because it comes off like what he should look like, because he's a priest. He's a priest for whatever the Sigmar church is.
Well, yeah, it's not a skirt. It's a solid robe.
Yeah, and the lightning bolts make sense because if you're devoted to Sigmar or whatever is Sigmar actually like a person? Is he actually like a physical thing in this universe now?
You're asking me all the wrong questions.
Oh, I definitely have not done enough research on the fluff for Age of Sigmar.
I do not believe Sigmar is an actual person.
But him being devoted to the Church of Sigmar, that's what I'm going to call it from now on.
Yeah, sure.
Having lightning bolts are what his iconography? Wow,
iconography.
I sound like I'm from Boondock Saints 1.
Holy shit.
The symbolism?
Is it the symbology?
It's the symbology.
What's the symbology here?
The symbolism.
Iconography.
Iconography, thank you. Having a bunch of lightning bolts on the front of you makes sense. That's the point I was trying to make.
Yes, and I do agree. I think that it works. I think that, you know, it comes together well enough, and, you know, the model is good. It's fine. I don't have a problem with it. There's nothing offensive happening here. And again, like, everything is on track other than the giant muscular
baby.
That's
the best thing we can say about the Silver Tower. There's nothing offensive happening here.
Well, I mean, even the giant muscular babies, like, I get it. Some people like that. Yeah. Some people are into that type of dwarf. It's just not me. All right, so then we move on to this pretty rad-looking Chaos Marauder.
I was going
to
say barbarian.
Looking guy. Well, yes, very much a barbarian. I think he's more similar to a Marauder just by his big fat-ass belt buckle, which is what Marauders were kind of known for. But look at, like, the pose is really fucking good.
Obviously, he's the Marauder wrestling champion.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
He's being John Cena pushed. He never loses.
No, this is John Cena. John Cena also never dies. I love it. I love the look of the sword. I love how beat up it is. I love the pose. I think the pose is really badass.
The paint job sells
on this. Paint this job is solid, man.
Really good. I love the actual skull knee pads. I think that those are actually really cool.
All the skulls on here work for me, right? Like the three-eyed skulls and all that kind of stuff where, like, clearly there's some chaos bees. Oh, look, we got another poor demon that was suckered into being embedded in a piece of armor that sucks.
And it's his wrist armor.
It's his fucking wrist guard.
He can, like, talk to him. He just puts it to his ear. He's like, oh, what?
Yo, man, let's get this started. As weight's still way better than the shin guard or the fucking saddle.
The saddle is the worst one.
The demon saddle.
The demon saddle is the worst.
Oh, wait,
so what imbued item are you? Oh, I'm a saddle.
Yeah. But no, I think everything about this works. You got the fur, you got the skulls, you got the fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger from Conan build.
I would like to go for 1 second that these are the boots with the fur, actually.
Mm.
Apple bottom jeans. Flow Rider 07. I'll see myself out.
I'm cringing so hard I can feel all of my organs like slowly shifting. Fuck you, Matt.
I'm just, like I said, I'll see myself out.
Moving on, we've got a Tzeentch Wizard here, and this thing is fucking beautiful. It is very fucking Pan's Labyrinth.
I was gonna say it's really nice that Guillermo del Toro took time out of his busy schedule of planning Pacific Rim 2 to make us a model.
Good joke.
I was really hoping that we could talk about Pacific Rim 2.
Well,
casting.
How about we talk about Pacific Rim 2 casting another time?
Okay.
Like the end of the show. I love the feathers on the front of the model. I think it adds a lot to the model, which is just kind of a really cool flair. I'm not a huge fan of the big fucking fire coming out of the book, but I think that's very likely a separate piece, or at the very least, that's going to be easy to clean off. I love the dagger kind of poking into the book, the eyes, the headdress, the staff being like this alive sort of creature. Like, every single thing about this model just hits it.
Hits it perfect. The one thing I love about GW is that they've just decided that, like, Korn and Tazeen are getting pushed to the moon because they get all the cool ideas, and all Nurgle gets is just fat green people, and Slaanesh doesn't even exist anymore.
Just Chet.
Korn gets, like, really cool-looking, like, crazy people. Like, everybody's a Korn Berserker now. Tazeen gets always the best sculpts. Like, their Greater Demon's probably the best-looking one. Their demons are probably really good, are really good-looking. Like, everything about Tazeen has always looked really good, and they always get, like, really cool sculpts. With, like, the half-bird people and the staffs and the books. And
for anybody wondering, he's been saying Tazinch for...
Tazinch.
Like, 10 years, as long as I've known him, we've never been able to break it.
Yeah, it's Tazinch.
No, it's fucking Zinch.
Whatever, it's Tazinch.
It's a silent T.
I know, whatever.
Is it Shang Tsung?
What are you referencing?
Mortal Kombat.
Oh my god.
Shang Tsung, not Shang Tsung. It's Zinch!
Zinch. Zinch, zinch, zinch. Anyways, but yeah, but they decided that, they just decided that everything about Nurgle is just fat and green.
Yeah,
like they have one aesthetic, and they just are really lazy with it. And then Slaanesh doesn't even exist anymore.
Well, there's just there's nowhere to go with that. I think in 40K you could play a lot with it a lot more than you could in fantasy. In fantasy, it was always just like, yeah, giant walking shit piles. That is essentially what it is. When they made like the giant flies. Like, you remember those guys?
Yeah.
Like, that was about as much as they could come up with. And that was a great idea, don't get me wrong, right? But, like, that was it. That was as far as you could go. Mm-hmm. But this model is absolutely gorgeous. I love it. It is my favorite model in this entire kit. And that's saying something because there's some other really good ones coming up. Speaking of which, we've got Giant Beastman Blanka.
Yeah, Blanka. Yep, you're right. Yep. Beast Blanka is awesome with his Tron back. He's a cool model, but like you said, only look at him from the one side because you see that weird neck on the other side.
Oh yeah, from one angle, it's just all neck.
Yeah,
like
obviously the guy who was sculpting it had nailed it, and then he had to do the back neck, and he's just like, ah, we'll stretch it out.
Yeah, like bringing his arm up or something to like maybe hide that neck a little bit would have been a smart move. But in general, I think the very distorted, bestial monstrosity nature of this thing means, like, even with that crazy ass fucking neck, it totally works for me. And if you hit the right angle where he's just fucking looking at you,
yeah,
over his staff and the flames coming out of the eyes, that is a fucking awesome looking model.
No, Tron Blanka is fucking awesome. He's great. I love the staff. I love his feet. I love his hair. I love the horns. The paint job's amazing. Again, GW, whoever painted this model, give him a raise. He did a very good job. This is going to sell boxes, just this model by itself, because this is great.
No, this is a painting contest model, for damn sure.
Oh, for sure.
Gorgeous, gorgeous fucking model, this giant beast demon dude. I love the ram head on the on the staff. I just love the, like, we've seen a lot of, like, demon prince-esque type beasts.
You're right, this is a great demon prince. I couldn't even imagine what I was going to use him for. Then you said demon prince, I'm like, yes, perfect.
Well, yeah,
he
like
should be a demon prince.
This works. It works really, really well. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, when we've seen so many of them, and again, like, there's a lot of Demon Prince models from GW, and they've all been pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I love those models, and I've always said,
Balakor is awesome.
Balakor is fucking amazing. Yeah. But, like, awesome one.
He has a dated sculpt, though, now. I'll say he looks pretty dated.
It's more his pose than anything else, and his wings. But yeah, I'd have to agree.
But yeah, this guy's
gorgeous.
And the thing is, like, you could give this to any painter, and with how many details there are, like, you could paint this guy in 20,000 different colors, and every single one that the guy can paint, he can do so much stuff with the Tron stuff on the back, he can do so much stuff with the staff, the horns, the hair. I would love to see just him as, like, get that guy into, like, 10 different painters, who are all really good and just see what they come up with.
Yeah,
because he's just a great model to paint, it looks like.
So we got a couple Joe Schmoes. We got a couple Joe Schmo Chaos guys. We're not really going to talk too much about them except for the fact that, holy shit, the musculature on these Joe Schmo Zine Chaos guys is fucking weird.
Yeah. He's this guy looks like he has a fat suit on. He's ripped with a gut.
It's
like
a fat guy with a muscle suit on, is what you meant to say.
Yeah.
Because he's got a ripped six-pack, and then to either side of it, it's just flabby.
Yeah.
Flabby chest.
Even the muscle stick out leg is kind of flabby. He really likes his beer and his fucking
Yeah, like look how ripped that calf muscle is. Like what the fuck is going on
here? He's got
a back ass. Look at that thing.
Yeah, he likes to squat. He likes to do a lot of crunches, and he also likes to chug beer on the weekend.
And terrible poses. Oh my god, these are bad, bad fucking poses.
I like his helmet though. I think his helmet looks pretty cool.
I don't know about that. Not my favorite. Why is it doing this?
His friends are not that bad though.
This guy in the back is not so bad, but they all have that weird fucking musculature.
I like the running guy on the right, though. Running guy on the right, like, his pose is cool, because he's running and he's like, and he actually did his pose pretty good.
Then we got some demons, some Zinch demons, which are pretty cool looking. Yeah. I'm going to switch over to that one there. So you can see a bit of a 360 on this guy.
I love the half-bird nose.
Yeah, and I think the feathers along the back are really cool, kind of on the one side. Yeah, the half-bird, like, weird nose is cool with the horns.
Well, that's always been Zinch.
Yeah.
Zinch's aesthetic, that they've always had, like, the bird aesthetic.
Yeah, and I really like the, interesting-looking staff, like, stave axe heads. Looks very, very cool as well.
I like the two-weapon guy, too. Because the two-weapon guy with the armored, like, nose piece is really nice.
Yeah, very cool. We've got some familiars, some horrors, a pink horror. We've got some little Ifrit dudes. And oddly enough, we get a Skaven Assassin, which I'm kind of blown away. I really fucking like this Skaven Assassin model. I think the tail, for how long it is and the way that it's posed, is really cool, really smart. Simplicity is the king here. You get a really cool looking dagger, which is the Skaven symbol.
Is the two blade dagger the Skaven symbol? I didn't realize that. Okay, that makes more sense.
Is that fucking cool?
Because I was going to complain about that, because I was like, a double dagger, that's a weird aesthetic. But yeah, if it's done the Skaven logo, then yes, that makes more sense.
I really like the bladed helmet going all the way to the front of the face.
The one thing I like about a Skaven Assassin is that he's making every part of his body a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what sells the helmet blade to me, because the helmet blade is kind of goofy looking, but when you know that Skaven Assassins are all about efficiency and like using everything,
part of their body's a weapon.
Then I buy it for that idea. But it is, if I didn't know the fluff and I just saw a weird like headbutt weapon helmet, I could see people being like, oh, it's a little weird.
Bladed face hat. I play bass for them.
Oh.
Hey, bladed face hat. I really like that Skaven model, actually. I mean, it's very easy to take a model like that and go fucking stupid with it. And I think that absolutely works. I'm very happy with it. We have a whole bunch of weird spider night goblins, which is strange. Like, night goblins hunched over with six limbs.
Like six limbs, yeah. I don't think I've ever seen that before, period.
Nope. And then we get to the Mighty Heroes expansion, which is a bit of an interesting one. I'm going to jump back to a different thing just so we can get all of these models in here. First off, it is a worst case scenario Sigmarine.
The worst offender of the Sigmarines. His wings are...
Holy shit. Look how fat he looks.
I know, he's...
Like, you want to talk about an overweight dude in armor.
He's... Yeah, he's got... He's a mess. The expansion characters are a mess. Because I literally think that it's obviously a different team designing these ones. Or, like, this actually just might be a fucking miniature from another Sigmarine release.
There are a couple of the expansion characters that I actually think are pretty nice. But, yeah, this one's a total fucking mess. It's those weird-ass fucking spike wings that we've seen before look like shit.
Yeah, the comet with the fucking, like, glow wings. Like, there's such a weird aesthetic.
He looks like a fat guy bungee jumping in that pose. Like, it's so weird. And then, yeah, the big giant bow, and then the phoenix flying underneath him is really weird. And he's standing up on his gigantic fucking, like...
He's jumping back, shooting a bow. It's just a... this model's a mess.
It's fucking awful.
This is quite literally
look at
probably
the fucking helmet.
This is quite literally probably the worst. This is all the worst offenses of Sigmarines in one model.
Well, Age of Sigmar as a whole, yeah. And then we get this guy here. I gotta actually tilt him because he's too big for my screen.
You know what there we go. You know what his head reminds me of? One of the Jedi Masters from Episode 2. Oh, I can't remember his name though.
Interesting.
The one on the council that has like the big, like he's not Twi'lek, but he has the two big things.
Yeah, he's got the horns that come down. Like yeah. I don't remember.
That's what he looks like to me.
This guy's standing on skulls, and I the skulls are so perfect for him to stand on. I feel like those are just like platforms. He's just walking around on platforms. But outside of that, as like a giant barbarian looking monster. This is actually kind of interesting. There are some very strange, weird chain links. Like, the back of his army's got, like, a weird chain link that doesn't seem to make a ton of sense. It almost looks like his arm is, like, disconnected there on both sides. He's got chains with skulls hanging off of it. He's got skulls hanging off of his belt. He's got corn symbols all over the fucking place. I mean, in general, this model could have been amazing, but it just didn't quite hit the mark because I think they just... They doubled down too much on the corn. They should have focused more on the barbarian aspect. See, with like the big horns
and the spine. But that's GW's biggest problem with their corn stuff is their corn stuff is such a balance between either like they nail it or corn has iconography. Oh, fuck,
iconography.
That. Iconography again. Where they just decide that it's the most important thing and it has to be on every part of the model.
Right.
Also, I think the guy I was talking about was Quaylen Voss. I'm going to also Google that.
More than likely. No, Quaylen Voss was the black guy, wasn't he?
I don't think so.
Anyways. Moving on. We've got another fucking dwarf. Now, these are more models that we've kind of already seen before.
You're right. Quaylen Voss was the black guy with the yellow on the front. Yeah.
We've seen this dwarf before. We've talked about him before. He looks like a fat baby. This is what started the whole fat baby thing, where like his musculature just wasn't there.
He's got a weird cape too.
Oh, it's fucking stupid. So this is the dumb dwarf fat baby.
His staff's not very nice. Whatever, we can.
And then we've got another Tzeentch demon guy who we've seen before. That guy right there, we've seen him before.
He's fine.
Pretty cool. Yeah, no, he's a really nice model. The reverse jointed legs is really cool.
Yeah.
So, interesting stuff, because there's a lot of models in this Warhammer Quest box that are actually really fucking cool models. Yeah. And they did a really good job on them. It kind of makes you wonder, was it just artistic... Was it just artistic merit that the sculptors...
The team that got like the job to do the Silver Tower were just like, you know, they weren't the usual design team, and they like and they hit it out of the park.
We're not just going to look like I'm jacking off comlets all over everything.
Yeah. They read the forums. They listen to the podcasts. They're like, you know what? Maybe we should like tone it down a bit.
Let's bring it back. Let's reel this back a little bit.
Well, because the design team knew who were going to be designing the Silver Tower. If they fucking made it really blinged out, they just hear like just been destroyed on like what every fucking corner of the internet.
So here's the million-dollar question, though, Maddie. Do you want any of these models?
I do like the Sigmarine. I would like to. I actually wouldn't mind having him and painting him up as just a single miniature.
Just for like shelf quality type stuff.
Yeah, just for shelf quality because I think he's the best. I think he's the best idea of what a Sigmarine could be, maybe except for the helmet.
All right, so I mean, from the modeling perspective, this game actually has a lot to offer. There's quite a few character models in there. The game itself is $205.
What? It's 200. I don't think Blanka and I don't think Tron Blanka and Sigmarine are worth that much, but
but still, the number of miniatures you get, is pretty damn good for that amount of money, and for the fact that you're getting a board game, rules, tokens, all that kind of shit to go in along with it, cards as well.
I also heard the board game isn't that bad. I heard it's actually pretty fun.
No, most people actually, now that you mention it, most people have actually been saying that they've enjoyed it. You know, I think in the world of board games, does it have the longevity to last? Probably not. And I think if I were to sit down and say, hey, let's play a board game, this is probably not the first one I would come up with.
This isn't the first one off the shelf, but I think that we could, like, probably... honestly, like, if you said you were picking it up and we were going to do, like, maybe, like, a recording of, like, me, you, and a couple other people playing it and kind of just have, like, beer and pretzels night with it, I wouldn't say no to it.
No, I mean, it's not the end of the world, right? I mean, it's a board game, you split it between four people, it's $50 a piece, that's not the end of the world, right? Yep. So, I mean, it's not so bad. And you get a couple cool character models out of it that you might use. So, hey, there you go. So I guess that brings us to the weekly listener poll.
Who's your favorite character?
No, I don't want to go that way. I was going to say more along the lines of how much are you willing to spend for a single model, right? Like for you, you were saying, oh, I just bought this ship because I need one fucking card.
Yeah.
And I paid like, this much for it.
It was like $45.
Yeah. So the big question is how much are you willing to spend for a single piece of a larger set that is selling for a certain amount of money? So I'll throw some dollar values up there. The idea being similar to this, like if Maddie's looking at this box, like going, I just want that fucking one Sigmarine.
Yeah. Is it worth $205?
Right. Am I willing to go that direction to get my hands on that? You know, obviously in this case for you, it's no. But the question is, how much are you willing to pay for that one piece?
Man, I don't think I know what's the most I've spent on a single piece to get one thing. Man, I think I'm pushing probably an expansion for. Oh man, I think I bought a starter set of a game one time for one piece, and I think it was $85. I think the highest I've gone is just below $100.
Yeah,
for one thing, and then
I know,
and then,
I know.
No. It was a Fancy Flight thing. It was an epic ship, and I wanted C-3PO, and it was a Tantivin, and I wanted C-3PO. I wanted the one card, and that was. I think Tanfin's $140.
Sure.
So I think the most I've spent is $140 for one card.
Clearly, there's no limit to what Matt is willing to spend, but that is the question for you guys. So, hey, Matt, something shiny. We watched the Mass Effect trailer, which dropped very, like, what, today?
I think it dropped today or yesterday. I think it dropped to E3 yesterday.
E3 yesterday, yeah. So, yeah, about 8 hours ago.
Yeah.
That was what on the Mass Effect site. So, keep in mind that we live in Edmonton, which is home base for BioWare.
Home base for BioWare, yeah.
Mass Effect's version side of BioWare.
Not the Texas side. Well, even in Mass Effect 3, there is an Edmonton name drop in an armor you can get. And the cool thing is it's called the Edmonton Blood Dragon armor. So obviously the person was a fantasy fan.
Well, no, that was also actually off out of Dragon Age.
Oh,
there
okay.
were Blood Dragons.
Okay.
So that was the Blood Dragon armor. That was Mass Effect 2.
No, the Blood Dragon armor is in Mass Effect 3.
Oh, okay.
Because they said you can find it on somewhere on the Citadel. You buy it in one of the shops in the Citadel, because I remember that's the armor I used at the end of the game.
Probably one of my favorite shops on the Citadel.
Yeah. Well, no, it was the one where...
That was a joke.
Oh.
About how you go around and every shop says, Hi, I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite place to shop in the Citadel. but anyways, let's talk about the trailer. Holy shit, dude, I got amped the fuck up.
You know what the thing I like about that trailer the most is that there's a lot of, like, I saw people complaining on it because they were just like, oh, there's too much showing of just, like, the background of, like, people, like, doing things of the game. Like
the behind-the-curtain.
Like, behind-the-curtain stuff. And I thought that was a better game trailer than most game trailers because I'm like, this gets me more amped up than just, like, the Mass Effect 3 trailer is amazing, but it's selling me on something that's never going to happen because I'm never going to play cinematic scenes.
Right.
And I like the idea of them showing gameplay, just quick shots of gameplay. And them showing how they made the gameplay.
Well, also, a lot of the CG behind the facial expressions and the idea that, like, this is a game with a script and a story and emotional characters, and you have to be able to buy emotions off of these digital characters, right? That uncanny valley can't be too sharp.
And the thing about the way the trailer talks, they're giving you an idea of what the game is. And I'm already sold. I don't need to see anything else. They're like, you are going to another galaxy. You're going to explore. And that's all the trailer gives you. And I'm just like, yep, I'm in. Bye. I will buy it twice.
Here's what it reminds me of. You remember when The Force Awakens, we hadn't received the big trailers, the best trailer ever made. No, I know what you're going to say. You're wrong, but you said it. We don't need to go back to it. X-Men are terrible now. There's nothing you can do about that.
Fair enough. But I will give you this. When that Millennium Falcon's flying through
warp, lights,
and the music hits, you're right. That is
dumb. Done.
That is great. That is
done. Done. Done.
That part does get me fired up.
Yeah, we'll watch it again. Okay, after this.
Sweet, perfect.
But no, like it reminds me of that featurette that came out where it was all the behind the scenes from The Force Awakens.
Yeah,
and it was like George Lucas talking about like, you know, it's different, but it's the same. Like you look around and everything's the same, but it's different. And you see all these behind the screen shots, and you see all these character shots, and you see these movie shots, and you see J.J. Abrams talking to the actors, and like the music was there,
yeah,
and the scenery was there.
It gives you a feel,
and like you
that's what sells me because I don't even know anything. I just want to know the feel of it.
I don't want to know anything right
now.
Until we get closer to the game, I don't need to know anything more than there's a girl. She wakes up and says, "We made it."
Yeah,
like that. That to me is like perfect. Thank you so much. That's what I wanted. That was exactly what I was looking for. And I think that, you know, like I finished that trailer and I didn't expect to get fired up because the first trailer for the game was just like the cool music and them showing a bunch of scenes and then showing a guy who's very clearly Shepard.
But then Femme Shep is the one doing the voiceover and she's like, "I'm Commander Shepard," and like I can't remember what the actual dialogue was, but even that one gave me goosebumps because just hearing Shepard talk is fucking awesome.
No, it was very cool. And again, Matt and I are a pair of people who 100% believe in the idea that Shepard is, of course, alive. Red ending.
Yep.
Red ending. Only
red ending. And I am a firm believer. I don't care what the person who fucking designed the game says. That's indoctrination. There was indoctrination through the entire game. The screaming at the beginning of Mass Effect.
Dude, 3. we could literally do an entire episode on just that.
About the indoctrination theory, yes. Because I am sold on it.
No,
I believe 9/11 was an inside job. I believe in the indoctrination theory.
Okay, here's the thing. There is too much evidence to support it. It isn't just a thin theory. It is, there is far too much fucking evidence to support it. And the fact that they did not follow through with it, even after, under all the fucking pressure, when they could have just been like, "Oh, you didn't like the endings? Well, guess what? It was indoctrination. Here's the DLC. The DLC is going to go ahead and prove it." Now, they did add a bunch of stuff to the DLC when they remastered the ending.
Yeah.
That made it feel less like indoctrination, but maybe a lot of people were saying like, well, maybe they felt like they were being too heavy-handed because too many people caught it.
Yeah.
But again, I think that that's something that's going to come down the line. I would not be surprised if Shepard makes an appearance somewhere in this game, may not be directly in the game, makes an appearance, or there's some allusion to what happened to Shepard and like the idea that like maybe his body was never found or something like that, right? Like, I think that. Anyways, like, this trailer fucking fired me up, dude. I jumped out of my chair. I was like, "God damn!" Like, I was so amped because if you don't know this about me, Mass Effect is my favorite game.
Yes. And it's
Mass Effects 1, 2, and 3, I don't care if you're going to go, "One was this, and 2 had a thing, and 3's ending was blah." Fuck you. Those three games are the best games ever made.
I will argue that forever. I am totally with you on this. I am a Mass Effect fanboy through and through, and I don't say I fanboy about a lot of things, but fucking Mass Effect is some of the greatest gaming ever made, period.
Oh,
the first one is amazing. The second one is the best of the series.
Fucking stories I care about, right?
Yeah, like, You cannot be any more emotionally invested in a game than Mass Effect. Like, you are, like, you want to play, Nathan's playing it again.
I know.
And you play it again, I've played it through 3 times, and every time I cared. I can tell you exactly all the story points I hit on
time. I don't doubt it. See, I played it once, and I've wanted to go back through and play it again, but I feel like, I still feel like the story is not over. So I don't want to start a new book, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, no, fuck that. We're gonna come back to it.
Yeah.
And my single gameplay, my single playthrough is not done because I'm a role player at heart, right? So, like, for me, I look at that stuff and I go, well, no, my story is not over yet, so I'm not gonna go restart
Shepard,
it again.
Shepard wakes up in that pile of rocks, you motherfucker.
Of course he wakes up in the fucking pile of rocks. So yeah, like, That trailer actually did, man. That fucking did it for me, dude.
Yeah, it was like I watched it today. I got home after the softball tournament. I watched it today, and before I saw it, I was I was on Kotaku. I think I was on Kotaku. And I saw them, like, talking. And I went through the people's, like, comments before. And everybody in the comments was like, oh, there's too much behind-the-scenes footage. This is... I hate that. I shut it off after that. So I watched it. And I was like, what the fuck are these people talking about? Why is everybody so fucking bitter? This is an amazing trailer.
Yeah, but it, being upset about things on the internet is half of the internet. Like, it's... People have to pick things apart. Like, even for me, when I watch a trailer like that, I might look at something and say, oh, I didn't really like that, or oh, maybe I wanted more of this. But at no point do I ever feel the need to comment and go, you're a fucking idiot, right? If I feel like the comment is constructive, I'll throw it out there. But, I mean, in general, that's a whole different breed of people who comment on the internet.
But I couldn't understand the complaints about the behind-the-scenes stuff not being good. Like that, like how do you... like. I like that more than anything else, really.
And it's a second trailer. Like, we got the first teaser, and that didn't have any behind the scenes shit in it.
Yeah, it was just stock footage and a voiceover of Shepard.
It was all good, right? Like, and again, I was perfectly fine with that. All right, so let's talk about Warcraft. Apparently, it's the new Battlefield Earth.
What?
Yeah, apparently.
Did you see it this weekend?
No, I didn't. I felt like it would be too sad if I went to go see it by myself. Like, I needed to go see it with somebody, and I needed to pre-drink before I did so.
Okay.
So it was like, nah, fuck it, I'll try to wait till later. And I know Terry's trying to get Nathan to watch it so that the three of us can sit down and talk about it at the end of a show.
Nice. I guess we could go, like, I have, like, Tuesday or Thursday off, so we could go see it, like, one of those days.
I got fucking kids, man.
Well, I know that.
It would have to be, like, a late fucking show.
Yeah,
like,
we could probably squeeze in.
I mean, this is thrilling podcasting, but, you know, hey. No, apparently it's fucking awful. Every single review is just shit.
I've heard that about that. It makes me sad because I really wanted this to be I didn't want this to be like the next thing, a cinematic masterpiecing, but I also just was really hoping that this was like a solid movie. I was just hoping for it to be solid.
No, I was really hoping for it to be a load of shit. Now, again, the last trailer that I watched for it, I actually was surprised and I thought to myself like, oh shit, this actually looks like it could be good. Just in the sense that there was enough there to say, like, it has potential. Maybe we've just all been duped, and this movie that has been in the works and is 10 years too late is gonna nail it.
We could talk about how this thing totally missed the fucking point of it, striking when the iron's hot.
Oh my
God. Even though it is destroying in China, which is hilarious.
The iron broke and was thrown away. Yeah. Holy shit. No, I mean, don't get me wrong, right? Like, I get it. I get the idea of, like, now's the time. The technology is here. We can actually make the movie we want to make. Don't get me wrong.
Well, I understand that. The funny thing is, you can see through the trailers that you've seen for over the year that the CG has gotten better and better and better.
Well, and a lot of people have said that.
And they've been cleaning up a lot. Like, the orcs look really good now.
Yeah.
Well, like obviously it's a CG green screen extravaganza. But, the orcs look really good now.
Yes, and everybody that I've talked to who's seen it has basically said that the trailer, they've cleaned it up a lot, and they've actually made it a lot more of a coherent story. They said that, however, they're not able to fix the problems that you always have with CG of that type, which is just making things look realistic enough. There's too many things that don't look realistic enough that make you... It just takes you out of the moment.
But it's a fucking movie about Azeroth.
They're not saying like, oh, the tusks look cartoonish or the facial features look cartoonish. What they're saying is that like sometimes characters who are CG will move and walk and like round a corner or like reach out for something and it looks weird.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't look realistic enough to fit.
Like,
but that was what made me excited about Mass Effect, where it was, like, the motion capture that they did to try to make everything look as fucking real as possible. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the fact that that's being put into this game, right? Like, Grand Theft Auto, right? Like, I love watching fucking Grand Theft Auto Let's Plays because they're fucking hilarious. And, like, the physics and the ragdolling and, like, the way the characters move, you can tell when it's the game... creating the physics, and when it's a dude wearing a motion capture suit, acting it out, and actually playing the role, it works. It works way, way, way better because it's like only a person moves like that.
Well, it's kind of like when you saw the Force Unleashed, when you get like the fucking in-game CGs of like when Sam Wentworth was actually doing Starkiller, and then when he's ragdolling stormtroopers like across the room, right? Like that was really enjoyable. So like that's one of the biggest thing I loved about that game was that when you're in like those really intimate Starkiller scenes, like
sex scenes?
No, just like him. Like they have it up close to his face and like this, like the in game.
Well, like guys coming on his face, like intimate.
Did you ever play Force Unleashed?
No. Oh.
Then you're not gonna get it.
I don't play consoles, man. Like that was it.
See, the thing is, I don't play PC.
Well, we're gonna get you there. All right, guys. That is Jaded Gamercast for this week. My name is Lion.
I'm Maddie.
Have a good one.
Good night.
What happened to peace?
I just want to go back.